Once again, happy Mother's Day. God is so good to all of us because we have moms that love us and care for us and nurture all of us. Amen? Yay. I just want to say thank you again to Dave and Lizzie for putting that together for our moms so that they can feel love and appreciate it. You know, and I also just want to say that there are moms here. You might not be natural moms, but you are spiritual moms, right? And we love you, and we honor you and appreciate you on this day as well. And so it's just such a great time to be able to gather this morning and worship together. We're in a series about who we are as a church, our values, right? And so this morning we're going to continue with that series this morning. But a little bit of a review, right? Pastor Jesse started us out with how, as a church, we want to be city-mindedness because God has called us to glorify Him, but not just in any context. God wants us to glorify Him in Manteca, California, right here in this neighborhood. And that's part of what the Makers Market that Pastor Jesse has been putting on and other leaders in our church as well, to be able to be a place where we can draw the community to our church area so that they could feel blessed, right? And that's part of our strategy is to be able to let people know that Northgate really cares about the people in this city. And so please come out and support that effort. And again, some of that money will be going to HEAM to support our children's ministry as well. So once again, thank you for that. And then after that, we went over word and worship. Right? We come together as a community to really worship together. And how many of you guys really enjoy worship here? Like, amen, right? Thank you, Kim, for and your team. And even this morning, we have 3 young adults. Right? We have create space for young adults to really use the gift that God has given them to express worship to the Lord. And what a powerful worship we have. And one of the songs that we sang, you know, that how God turned dust into something beautiful. And I can relate to that. Right? I know, like looking at my own life, I'm a mess all the time. Right? I'm dust. You know, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, about inner self and what that means. Because I want you to know that I'm a real person, even though I'm up here all the time, right? I have so many failures and mistakes. Like, even this past week, like, I have a tons of like things that I'm just like, oh my gosh, Lord, please help me out here because I'm just so not all together, right? And so I want to let you know that. God is working in my life. And as being part of your pastors, if you see shortcoming in my life, which, you know, people do see, they have come up to me. And so I welcome that. I really do. You know, because that will help me grow and mature as a leader as well. And that's something that I know God's been really working in my own life, in my own ministry, because I'm not perfect. None of us is, right? And then, and that's part of why we come and study the Word of God. Is that through the Word of God, we could see ourselves in a mirror, right? Like what the Bible tells us, the book of James, so that we can allow God's Word to correct us and heal us. And then next, we learn about how one of our value here is we are to be known, right? We belong to each other, right? And that's what we share about last week. And then this week, we're going to go ahead and look at inner self. And then next week, Pastor Jesse is going to help us finish with 360, what that looks like for us, okay? And so I don't want to steal that from him. So we're going to focus on inner self this morning. And so let's go ahead and read together what inner self looked like. Oops, I think that's a little too quick. There we go. All right, growing in awareness through the spiritual disciplines, exercising your spiritual gifts, and growing in the fruits of the Spirit in you. Right, so that's our definition of what at Northgate Community Church we consider inner self is. And I think this is a really good definition for us to go by, right? Because part of it is God is working in each one, every one of our life in a very deep and profound way. Right? And as leaders and as pastors, one of our jobs is to create an environment here where it is safe for you to really get connected to the Lord and not be scared by it, right? So that you could discover what God is doing deep inside of you and growing in awareness through worship, through reading of scripture, through prayers, through service. Right? Yesterday, we had a group of people that just came here and served. And that was such a wonderful time. And so I just want to say thank you again for giving your time yesterday to serve and using your spiritual gift of help to do that. I know Simon is not here, but if you're listening in, Simon, you're the best wheat whacker there is, man. Because I was struggling, and I'm like, okay, I better get out of the way, let Simon take care of it, and I do something else that I was good at. So I'm like, you know what, I think I'm decent at cleaning the toilet. I can do that, right? And so, but I just want to appreciate all of you coming out, because I know that, you know, that's a special Saturday yesterday, and you put in a lot of work to do that. And in exercising some of these spiritual gifts, we grow. And we grow in the awareness that God is working in us and through us and encouraging us, right? And then not only that, we also you want to use our spiritual gifts to bless people in our church and also in our community, and then also grown in the fruit of the Spirit in you. Right? Now, we're not going to have a lot of time to go into the fruit of the Spirit because that is a whole sermon series, right? So I'm going to try to touch base on growing in awareness through spiritual disciplines and exercising your spiritual gifts this morning with us. Now, before we get into any further, I want to go ahead and read Psalms 139, 13 to 18 with us this morning. Let's go ahead and open to Psalms 139, 13 to 18. And I'm going to just read from my ESV version here. For you, God, right, the psalmist is talking to God. For you form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If you count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. And then let's read verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So the first part here, I like to really focus on that the God that created us, he knows us intimately. And that's a wonderful thing, right? Because sometimes when we come to God, we might go, wow, if God knows my every thought, right, is he just going to destroy me? Right? No, actually the psalmist here is saying, hey, it's a good thing, right, that God knows us, right, that God created us, and he knows that we're formed from dust. Right, that we are made lower than the angel. And yet, God also created us with this eternal destiny that we are to be created in the image of God to rule and to reign with him. Right, last week, I talked a little bit about how in Jesus Christ, we were created anew, right? And our sins were forgiven and we were reconciled to God and that we are adopted. Right? The language that Paul used was the language of adoption. That each and every one of us, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're now become children, precious in his eyes. And as mothers care for their children, so the Lord cares deeply for each one of us. You know that one of the most profound imagery of the Bible is found in the book of Genesis. Right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless. Right? There was this void, this chaos, right? And then God, it say that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Spirit of God hover over the face of the deep. Right? The word hover there is a Hebrew term that speaks of a mother bird, right? Tenderly nurturing and caring and making sure that the eggs are protected and hatch properly. And then after the eggs are hatched, she cares for them. She brood over them, guiding them to make sure that they're able to find food. Wow, what a powerful image of God in that way, like a mother bird caring for his child. And that's what each and every one of us in the eyes of God. Right? He is nurturing us. He's brooding over us, leading and guiding each step of the way. Now, one of the great theologians of the church that really understood this very well is this gentleman here. His name is St. Augustine. Right? And in reading his book, I could probably give you know, this is maybe a good name for him. He's the saint of the inner life. He's the saint of the inner life. And one of the books that I highly recommend it is called Confession by St. Augustine. Okay, it was written after he was saved already. He came to Christ after years of running away from God. As a teenager, maybe when he was 15, after the death of his father, you know, he decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to go on my own, and I'm going to try out life the way I see fit. Right? So he ran away to Carthage, which was a city in northern Africa. It was a vibrant city at the time. And based on his journey, he talks about how he would go into, you know, try to find all the pleasure of life. Right, whether it's through sexuality or through intellectual, you know, exploitation, he was trying to experience and find love, and what it means to be a human being, without really following God, because he grew up in a Christian family, as you will find out later on. But he didn't want anything to do with that for a while. But yet, after later on, he came to Christ, and he talks about how. In the moment of weakness, it say this, you were more inward to me than my most inward part, and higher than my highest. I want to read that again. This is his confession to God and say, you were more inward to me than my most inward part, and higher than my highest. And what he was doing is he was reflecting on what we just read in Psalm 139. Right, that God is this being who created him, right? And as a creator God, he actually, God knows him better than himself. Right? God knew Augustine and all the desires and all the longing and all the aching of his heart. God knew all the intricacy of his mind, right? And everything that was inside of him better than himself. And because of that, St. Augustine said, because you know me so well, you are the highest being of all, you were able to then enter into my very inward part and transform me from the inside out. Isn't that lovely? All right, so that's St. Augustine for you. Now here is another picture, and you notice that there is St. Augustine and his mom, Monica. She's also considered a saint in the Catholic Church. And the reason why she was a saint is because she was very much a gracious woman. Not that she didn't have any fault, because she actually had many, many faults, right? And Augustine talked about her in his book of confession, how she would just never leave him alone, right? She just hounded him. Everywhere he went, she tried to follow him, right? And pester the heck out of him, okay? But one of the thing that is really great about Monica, okay, was that her life was not perfect in any sense of the word. She married to a Roman soldiers or officials in the government. His name was Patricius. And Patricius was not a Christian man. He was actually a very pagan man. And from the brief history, we know that he didn't really treat Monica very well, to say the least. There was a lot of abuse and violence in that situation. And now I'm not recommend that, you know, any woman, you know, suffer through abuse like Monica did. So don't take this with like that, right? But she somehow managed to continue to pray for him for 30 years, right, for his own salvation. And he actually ended up coming to Christ at the very last day of his life through her consistent prayer, right, and tears and just crying out to God. And so then afterward, when her son, you know, this is St. Augustine right here, which is really more accurate, right, because they're actually from North Africa. And so you can see there the picture there. They look more darker skin, right? And so they, and you see both mothers and son depicted together. But she would then pray for Augustine for the next 17 years of his life. She prayed so much that one of the priests that she went to and consulted with him, she's like, "Hey, Monica, listen, with the amount of tears that I've seen you shed for this young man, in no way God will forsaken him. I'm guaranteed that I know that God is going to do something great in his life. Because you are so, like, I've never seen anyone shed so much tear for someone like that." And when Augustine was 31, he gave his life to Christ. And he became probably, in the history of Christianity, only behind the Apostle Paul, right? The probably the greatest mind ever in the history of the church. So when we, as Christian today, as Protestant, right, we talk about how we are saved by grace and grace alone. Well, that was an idea that St. Augustine wrote about, right? It wasn't just Luther that came up with it. It wasn't just Calvin that came up with it. Actually, Luther, right, who was a monk, he became a monk and he went into the order of St. Augustine. Right? And by reading St. Augustine, he's going, wait a minute, even the church father talks about that you're not saved by your own good works. It's by putting all of your faith in Jesus Christ. Because St. Augustine, when he came to Christ, he looked at his own heart. Right? That's why he is the saint of the inner self, because he spent so much of his time so consumed looking inward to find God. And he realized that when he looked inward, he saw nothing but dust, like the song that we sang this morning. And yet he realized that out of that dust, he couldn't come to God on his own. God had to graciously come and meet with him and transform him from someone that was selfish to someone that would seek the glory of God. Now there's another thing about St. Augustine that is really fascinating, because he talks about so many different variety of subject, right? For young people, this is really cool. Right? So he said, when he was about 15 or 16, he said, "To Carthage I came. There I put my ear to the cauldron and heard from within and all around a song of unholy loves. I did not love, but I loved the thought of love. And in the depth of my desires, I detested the fact that I could not love more. I looked for something to love in my love of loving. And the reason was that inside me, there was a famine of inward food. I was starving for you, my God." Right? How many of us as teenagers or maybe have gone through that phase of our life can relate to that? Right? Like, we might not know what love is, really, but we fell in love with the idea of romance, right, and of love. And he beautifully put that into words. And part of that romance is that God created in each one of us a yearning and a longing to love Jesus, to be romanced by him, right? And to be pursued by God with deep, affectionate love. And when St. Augustine finally discovered God, he said that, "God, you made us in such a way that our heart yearns for you. And our heart will never, ever be satisfied until you satisfies it, Lord." Right? And so St. Augustine is not saying, hey, romantic love is bad. Right? He's saying romantic love has its place. Right? Loving for your mom and your parents also is good. It has its place. Right? But the right order of thing is that when we are loved by God and when we love God, then everything else that we love fall into its right places. And that's what we mean here by inner self. As a church, as a community together, that we come and we submit our life under the leadership of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit, and allow for the love of God that is completely gracious, completely free, right? The love of God that come and say, hey, listen, even when you are a rebellious person, I'm still running after you. I love you, and I've demonstrated that when I died for your sins on the cross 2,000 years ago to prove to you that I will not be separated even by your sins, right? And then through that encounter with the grace of God, through the love of God, right, God then comes inside of us and from the deep within us transform us into the person that we ought to be. God doesn't want to leave us the same. Amen. How many of you guys know that that's a great news, right? Like I share a little bit with you this week, right? Like even in some of my challenges, as I look back into my own life, I'm like, God, thank you that you want me to be transformed. Thank you, God, that you put people around my life to show me that I'm not doing the right things. Right? Whether it's leading the church, like honestly, like this week, I had some hard conversation. I had to step back. One of the leaders in our church, came to me and talked to me about some of my shortcoming. Right? And I'm like, wow, Lord, thank you for that. Right? I do want to say that. I really appreciated that. Because I realized, man, I was in the wrong. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Right? Because God then, in that encounter, when my brother and sister come to me, right, with the grace of God and with the love of God and say, hey, I'm for you. I want you to succeed. I want you to grow in maturity. Then I can receive that. And I'm going, okay, Lord, that is your grace working in my life to transform me. Right, to change me, because God wants us to be more like him. Amen? And St. Augustine was someone who really allowed the Lord to really work in his life in that way. Now, I think last week we didn't really get a chance to go deeper into this, so I just want to say something briefly about this, right? The way that we can actually be transformed is not just only through encounter with God, right? But it's also through encounter with one another. Right? So when we say here that we belong to each other, it's to be known by God, means to be acknowledged and affirmed as God's own, embraced within a community that lives from God's grace and faithfulness, and call and claim for the service of God. Right? I'm grateful that the leader who came to me this week and talked to me, he's like, hey, you're part of the community. Right? You're part of our family. So I didn't feel like I was being pushed out or anything like that. I felt love in that encounter. Right? And so when you come to Northgate Community Church, we want that to be a place where, you feel loved by us. And believe me, right, there are many spaces of belonging. Right? Like this leader and I have more time together, so we can do that. Right? I'm not going to just go up to you if you're new here and be like, hey, you need to fix that. No, I won't do that. Right? Unless you give me permission. So that's how we work here, by permissions. Right? We give each other grace and permission to be who we are, and yet also to allow the Spirit of God to work in us in a deep and profound way. And because of that, when we belong, right, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 comes in. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 6. And this is the spiritual gift part, right? Actually, let's go ahead and read verse 5 together, Romans chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Do you hear that? Paul say, hey, listen, as we all are different people here, but we all belong together in one body. Right? So Jesus Christ is the head, right? We know that. And some of us are the arm and some of us are the leg, right? But all of us belong to one another, to each other. And because we belong to one another, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Right? So Paul's saying, hey, listen, because now that you belong to the family of God, God actually, as your Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the empowering power of the Holy Spirit, God has given us grace. Right? And the grace of God manifests differently through different one of each one of us. Right? Some of you have gifts of generosity. That's what Paul will then talk about. Right? In the Bible, there's 18 different spiritual gifts that are listed. Now, in studying out the spiritual gift, right, the people are saying 18 is actually the minimum. Right? Paul didn't have room to write all of them out, so he basically wrote out some of the more prominent one. Right? But those are not limitation; those are just the beginning. There are many more spiritual gifts. And one author, Marva Dawn, talks about how when she was serving in this convalescent home, there was this 5-year-old boy that would come and visit with her to visit elderly people. And as they were worshiping, every time he would know intuitively, every time when someone needed their hand to be held. So then he would gently go up. This 5-year-old little boy would go up and just gently hold someone's hand. And they would receive so much comfort in that. Right? And she say, hey, is that gift of holding hand listed in the Bible? No, you can't find that gift in the Bible, right? But in that moment, God's grace filled that little boy, right? And he intuitively acted out, allowing the flow of God, the grace of God, to come and use him in that way to minister to people. Right? And so I just want to encourage us here, because some of you might read the Bible and you look at all those lists and like, well, I don't necessarily have that gift, right? Don't worry. Right? God has many, many multi-giftedness, right, for each one of us. Right? And the important thing is to be available and to say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, here I am. Would you be gracious and show me how can I be a blessing? Right? And so then you can then use whatever God put into your life. Right? For some of us, holding a baby in a nursery and being able to put a child to sleep, that's a spiritual gift in my book. Right? Right? And I've been really appreciative of mothers and grandmothers and even dad who's able to do that well. Right? That's a wonderful ministry. Right? Some of you, like Simon, cutting the grass and do it with joy. Right? With so much joy. Right? Yesterday someone said to me, hey, you know, Lorraine does the cleaning of the kitchen so well. Wow. I just want to acknowledge that. Right? Someone saw that as a gift. So don't minimize it, okay? That's what this passage is saying, because God's grace is so diverse. Now, what is important is that we use it faithfully. And when we use the gift of God faithfully, we are expressing what? Our deepest sense of gratitude towards God. Right? Because all those gifting do not come from us. They don't come from within us. Right? That's why Paul said here they are grace. Given to us, because we don't work for them. We don't earn them, right? None of that is earned, you know, but then God comes and flow through us. You know, someone that here that has a gift of help that I'm so appreciative of, you know, is Jeremy. All the time that I've known Jeremy, not even just here at Northgate Community Church, but outside of that, right? Even in other contexts. Right. Jeremy has a gift of help. Right. Whenever someone needs help, Jeremy is there. And he does it with such grace, right? And he's not like there, and he's not like, you wouldn't know that like Jeremy has that, you know, like would think highly of himself, because he's just so behind the scene. And yet God thinks highly of Jeremy, right? Because of his faithfulness and because of his deep gratitude towards the Lord. You know, so I want to encourage us, you know, in even modern context. The other day I talked to Rachel about maybe what are some other spiritual gifts that are really can be easily be used. And I thought about modernly, right, in our time, like photography, right, the ability to capture beautiful image and share it and help people remember those moments of their life. That is a gift, right? And so we should use it for the glory of God. So this morning, I want you to look into your own life, your own journey, right? And where you're at right now, because I believe that actually spiritual gift changes over time, right? And different seasons of life. You know, maybe when you're younger, you had a certain emphasis, right? Different talents. But as you grow older, you explore more, and God used more of your gifting. And maybe time change and ministry setting change, and so then other gifts come in, right? So I just want you to reflect right now. Where you're at, right? As the worship team come up, I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team. But as they come up and get ready to lead us in worship, I just want to ask you, right? What is God encouraging you to serve in, right? As you look around, you know, our community, our church, what are some of the way that God can say, hey, there's a gift that I've given you right there. Right? Step into it. Right? Step into it. Some of you, God has given such a generous heart to gift. I just want to say thank you for doing that. Right? We cannot be so, you know, say that enough. You know, we're so grateful that you've supported our children's ministry and have really graciously and generously give to our children in many, many different ways. So thank you. Right? Some of you have the gifts of leadership. Right? God say, then lead diligently, right? And gracefully. Amen. And so I just want, once again, I know many of you here are serving, and I want to acknowledge that, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. You are being seen, and I know that God is seeing it as well. And so, and as you more, you know, coming to our church and feel more welcome here, you know, take time, but as the Lord lead you, I like for you, you know, to see and pray, God, where would you want me to participate in what you are doing here? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and out of deep gratitude to our Lord this morning. Let's worship him together.